1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 to verse 5. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow strong thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy people, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We have before us pictures of a Christian. Not only of a Christian, but of the church itself. A newborn baby. Living stone. Indeed, the stone is built up into a house. And later on, in verse 9, we have further descriptions. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why do we have so many pictures? It's because one picture is not sufficient to describe what a Christian should be. How would you describe yourselves? How would you describe a man? You need a number of pictures to actually describe him. I myself am a man, but also a father, but a grandfather, a pastor, yet an industrial chemist, not to mention a husband. It's important that we know who we are. It's important that we know what we should be. At least we are left floundering, tossed around by those waves of false teaching. The world doesn't know who they are. They are lost. And it's important that we have this foundation of who we are. Peter is looking to encourage the church, to encourage us, to build up that church. At the end of his letter, he tells us why he's writing this letter. First of all, in verse 1 of chapter 5, he says he's exhorting the elders. But it's not only to the elders he's speaking, it is to all of us. And in verse 12 of chapter 5, he's exhorting us as well, encouraging us and testifying to us that we are Christians and we are in the true grace of God. Indeed, these people need that encouragement. And so do we. Right at the beginning of this letter is the address. And the address is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. Strangers is who he's addressed to. Not to Peter, for Peter surely knew some of these people. They may be even people there when he had his first sermon. They may be friends of his, many of them known to him. They're not strangers to God either, but they are strangers to the world. We are strangers to the world. When we became Christians, there was a turning point. Turning away from sin, away from the world, away from worldly attitudes. So that we became estranged from the world. So you shouldn't be surprised if you don't fit in. If you don't fit in with the world's bawdy conversations, or the near-knuckle jokes, or the attitudes of this world, and people look on you strangely, thinking you are peculiar people. I've experienced it myself. People are aware that I am a Christian, and especially at work. And when there's some near-knuckle jokes, sometimes they apologise. Sometimes they just give me a look. But I'm separate from them, in their sight. I am different. And so we should be as Christians, as salt and light in the world. We are not meant to be part of it. We're meant to be there. If we are part of it, and that is a problem for us as Christians, because we do get caught up with it. The world is always there. And sometimes we go along with it. We should remember who we are. If you go any further along with it, then a deep problem is raising its head about our relationship to God and where do we stand. We must remember, we're only merely passing through this world. We're passing through this world that is temporary, and we're moving on to a more permanent place and a more glorious one. Sometimes I think we lose track of that. We think we are here, and this is all it is. And we forget about that heaven that is welcoming to us. And we get caught up with the things of this world, and we forget about heavenly things. We're merely passing through. We are scattered. Scattered in this world. Isn't that what he says as he goes on? Strangers scattered in the world. These early Christians were scattered through the known world. Asia, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia. Looking at my commentaries, he's saying it is a route where letters would be sent round. And this letter would be sent to them. And they would be reading it. Those that are scattered. Knowing that they're part of God's plan. God's plan is for us to be scattered. How can we spread the word if we have not been scattered in the world? Bringing that gospel, bringing light to that dark world, preparing people for the Lord's return. It can be lonely at times, though. And I'm sure these young Christians felt lonely. Not only that, they would have felt persecuted. These Christians were living under the rule of Nero. And we all know Nero. It is said he fiddled while Rome burned. But he wasn't the only emperor to cause persecutions. There were a number of them. And it's no wonder Peter wanted to encourage and build up their faith, showing them who they truly were. And who, rightfully so, are we. Let's look at these pictures. We are to be like newborn babies. What is a newborn baby like? They look at a baby and they go, ah, but he's innocent and vulnerable. Why else does Peter tell us to lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, all envies, and speaking of evil? Because we're meant to be like newborn babies, knowing nothing of these things. They're nothing to do with us. We are to be unhindered by them, as innocent as that child that is born. A baby is totally unaware of these things of the world. And that is how we should be with regard to them in our lives. That baby is also dependent on its parents, isn't it? On its parents for sustenance, for food. We must be like that, totally dependent on our God, our Father. We are in regard to our salvation, for we can do nothing. Only our Father can help us. We can't obtain that salvation ourselves. We totally depend on Him. We totally depend on His Son and His sacrifice. We totally depend on God to feed us. But I think as Christians, sometimes we should cry out like those babies, wanting food. And we should cry out to God in our hour of need. As a baby cries out to its parents, the parent doesn't ignore the baby. The parent is there, waiting for that cry. How many new parents are there, wondering, is the baby awake or not? And when it murmurs, they're there to see if he's safe. Our Father is like that. When we cry out, he is there for us. We don't require bread. We require that spiritual food. And he says here, the milk of his word. The milk of his word. We need to be fed. We need those words of God. We need to take in those first truths. But doesn't Paul say we need to go on to greater food? To the solid food? So often as not, Christians are born. And they take in that first milk. And that's all they seem to take. And there's no depth for them as they grow. In fact, there's very stunted growth. Not after the milk. We should be ready to take more of what God has to offer us. Yes, we discover that we are saved. But we need to discover the method of our salvation through Jesus. We need to understand the depths of our salvation. The justification, the sanctification. These words come up, and yet what do we know of them? We need to teach our people these things. We need God's food. Jesus knew this, didn't he? When he was tempted by the devil in that wilderness, and the devil tried to say, turn these stones into food so you can eat. Wasn't it Jesus who referred him to the word of God? That was to feed him. The word of God. Not those stones that were turned into bread. And yet here we are pictures as living stones. We are living stones. Jesus was the stone rejected by men. Peter, in his letter, uses that Old Testament. He uses a number of writings and he brings them together to speak about the stone. The one chosen. The one that the prophets spoke about. The cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. We, the living stones, need to be built upon that foundation of Jesus. We are that church. He is our foundation. And without him we fall. If we build it on anything else other than Jesus, we're lost. People reject Jesus at times. And they try to build up their life without him. And all too often everything falls about him. I myself have just brought a new house. And I feel sorry for the people who went before me because the house was repossessed. They had built all their life upon these material things. And then they come into a bit of trouble and everything else disappears. And they lose the house they have. I don't know much about them. But I feel sorry for them. For they have lost their livelihoods. For their business went under as well. How much more should we depend on our Lord and Saviour? For he gives us all. And he gives us titles as well. We are called a royal priesthood. Isn't that a wonderful title? Royal priesthood. We are all included in this priesthood. It's not just the clergy. It's all of us. We all have a part to play in the church. I suppose Peter's view is that of the high priest. He was the one that was allowed into the Holy of Holies. He was the one that had the special dress and the special tools to speak to God. I think they called it an ephod. And they use it to understand what God was saying to them. And I believe we don't understand how they used it. But they use these stones or whatever. And they say, God is saying this. But we are included in this royal priesthood. We have exchanged our sinful rags that we talk about in the scriptures. And we've got royal robes. And are we not given the tools in which to talk, to converse with our God? Hasn't he given us the tools for the roles he has allotted us in the body of Christ? We have robes of righteousness. We have the gifts of the Spirit. Do we not have access to the Holy of Holies? Wasn't that veil torn in two of the Holy of Holies when Christ died on that cross? Opening up that way to the Father. A direct route through our Saviour Jesus to the Father himself. We have been adopted by God. We are princes of a new kingdom. And Jesus is our King and our High Priest. It's these things that Peter was thinking about as he was alluding to us as a priesthood. I'm sure he had Jesus at the centre of his thoughts. Jesus, our high priest, but also our sacrifice. These priests used to sacrifice animals for the sins of the people. But it wasn't enough. It was just pointing to Christ, Jesus, who would be the final lamb of sacrifice. The only sacrifice we need. And yet we do make sacrifice, don't we? We do sacrifice with praise and thanksgiving. Is that not our sacrifice? Isn't that all we've got to offer God? Our love, our praise. And he gives us so much. And he brings us in. And he makes us another picture of a holy nature. Holy nation. A great people. God's kingdom is a country to which we belong. We have a place reserved for us. We belong to God. You know, we've been sent out from that country. We are ambassadors. We're ambassadors to this world. Yes, we are witnesses, but we're meant to testify about Jesus. That's what Peter is writing about as well, testifying what it is to be a Christian. We too are meant to be witnesses, bringing God's word from another country, from another kingdom, from our nation. And yet, Peter contrasts in verse 9 what we are meant to be. You are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. We are called out of the darkness into his light. The world is in darkness. And we're in the world. And we still need to come to our Lord and ask for that forgiveness sometimes, because we are affected by this world, especially today. Sometimes I think, when you are persecuted, you know where you stand. You know black and white. You know when to say no, you know when to say yes. Our society was founded on Christian principles, and it's been undermined. Our politicians have rejected a moral standard for deceit. And when caught out, they say they are within the rules. Rules made by man, not God's rules. And I believe things are going to get worse and darker until God's standards are finally recognised. We live in a materialistic society, a humanistic society where man is the pinnacle of it. And God is left aside. There is no moral foundation. People invent their own morals. There's no absolutes. Everybody can follow their own rules. We need that foundation stone on which we build our morals. We need to know when we go wrong and when we are right. Worse still, we allow other religions to gain a ground, don't we? Wasn't it Manasseh we were talking about in our first reading? How he built up other religions. And if we look around this country today, we see those other religions gaining that foothold. And like Israel of old, we're adopting those principles. We're adopting their teachings. There's many a Christian today who would adopt other things from other Eastern religions. And so Christianity becomes confused. Even our main Christian leaders want Sharia law to be accepted into our laws. It's no wonder God wants us to be light in the darkness. There's so many shaded areas nowadays, and we need to be careful. We need to stand firm. No wonder God calls us to be witnesses, to bring that light into the darkness. And that is truly why we have been scattered. To bring that light. At the end, Paul tells us to stand firm. Sorry, Peter tells us to stand firm on that foundation. We've been put into this world to be different. And we should be different. So many Christians in churches nowadays don't seem different. They don't seem different from the people down the street. What a poor witness we can become. And yet, when we are different, people point us out. They put us to one side. and say they are different, have nothing to do with them. But wasn't that how like the early church? People feared God and said, have nothing to do with them. For horrible things may happen to you, but for the people who love God, wonderful things happened. If only there was that fear nowadays of God, but there isn't. People are going their own ways. We are called to live good lives. Even when we're falsely accused, people should know the truth that we stand for. Peter wrote this letter to the persecuted, the scattered believers, many that he personally knew. He wrote this letter from experience. He went through many of the persecutions himself. He came up against the false teaching. But he wanted to encourage these people. And this is a letter for us as well. An encouragement for us. To remind us what we are and who we are. Babies growing to maturity. Living stones solidly built upon Jesus, the cornerstone. Into that spiritual house. So let us not forget. We are a royal priesthood. We are a people of light. Let us not forget who we truly are. Amen.